Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Give the Lord a clap offering once again this morning. And if you have your Bibles with me, church, as you're standing, go to the book of Acts. The title this morning is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Acts chapter 2. If you'll go with me to Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 38 through 41. Maybe you've never heard what Pentecost means, and I'm going to do my best to try to explain it to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Do you have it? And I'm going to read the scriptures. And it reads, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice there's a promise to this. Verse 39 says, this promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Verse 40. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Verse 41. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. As many of you know, or maybe you do not know, we are considered a Pentecostal church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. As Pentecostals, we also believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in salvation. We believe in healing. We believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. Just as the Bible teaches. And when you read the book of Acts, or even the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. How Jesus healed the sick, cast out devils, raised the dead, did miracles. And then when you go to the book of Acts, as we're going to read right now, in a bit, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, everything changed with the apostles. And you see in the book of Acts, again, the boldness of preaching, salvations, and people were being healed. Now, I'm going to say this because that's we're part of this fellowship, the Assemblies of God. And I'm not exalting Assemblies of God, but we are part of a great fellowship, Assemblies of God. But the Assemblies of God is part of the fastest growing movement in the history of Christianity. the Pentecostal movement. And us, Assemblies of God, our fellowship is the largest number one Pentecostal church in the world. And when you go back and you read history, like with the man of God, and I'm going to read a little bit. So I want you to understand, because you're going to learn something. If you've never heard, you're going to learn something today. There was a man named William J. Seymour. He was a African-American black man who arrived in Los Angeles in 1906. The face of Christianity throughout the world was radically different from today. William Seymour was unassuming in every way. This man was blind in one eye, the son of slaves from Louisiana. But a building at 312 Azusa Street in Los Angeles was also unassuming. The stench from the building's days as a stable lingered in the floorboards. Yet from those humble beginnings, the Pentecostal and charismatic movement now numbers more than 660 million people globally. And this is what it reads. I often been intrigued by the stories from great moves of God. The only Assemblies of God general superintendent who attended the Azusa Street revival was E.S. Williams. And his recollections of what he saw painted a vivid picture of people seeking God with great fervor. And he says, I wish I could describe what I saw, Williams later recalled. Prayer and worship were everywhere. The altar area was filled with seekers. Some were kneeling on their knees. Others were prone on the floor. I simply stood and looked, for I had never seen anything like it. The exciting thing about his recollections is that they weren't stated from a heart and strange from revival. In William's tenure, the Assemblies of God experienced remarkable growth, nearly tenfold. Now, that's where revival broke out, what is known as Azusa Street, the pouring of the Holy Spirit. And today, all over the globe, they celebrate Pentecost Sunday. The word Pentecost, hear me, comes from the Greek word for the number 50. Since the Jewish feast of Pentecost, which they also called the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot, the reason they call it 50 days Pentecost is because it came 50 days after Passover. In that context, Pentecost was a celebration of the first harvest. But at Pentecost, the first fruits of the wheat harvest were presented to God. Therefore, Pentecost is called the Day of the First Fruits. Now, let me say this. Jewish tradition also taught that Pentecost marked the day when the law was given to Israel. The Jews sometimes called Pentecost the season of giving of the law. That's why in the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, the day of Pentecost, Israel, that's when Israel received the law. But on the New Testament or the New Covenant, the Pentecost church received the Spirit of grace in fullness. And right there in Book of Acts in your Bible, Go right there to chapter 2. Verse 1. I want you to see this. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. This is a time where us, the believers in Christ, hear me, what we call Pentecost, as we're celebrating today, is the time where we commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because when you read Book of Acts chapter 1, that's when the Holy Spirit came upon the early followers of Jesus Christ. Pentecost was the day that the church was established. We are the church. And the Holy Spirit brought the church into existence, but not only to existence, but it also empowered the church. That's why they say that Pentecost is the church birthday, because that's the day Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed. And today, all over the world, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. I like what someone wrote, and they wrote this: if Christmas marks the birth of Jesus, Pentecost marks the birth of the church. If Easter marks the day when Jesus was raised from the dead, Pentecost marks the day when the message, hear me, the message about Jesus began to be proclaimed all over the world. Do you know that's the day when Peter stood and he preached a powerful message? And we just read that around 3,000 people got what? Saved. Because it wasn't just Peter just talking. Peter was empowered by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it was the power of the Holy Spirit through Peter that he preached a powerful message. Church, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because it's only going to be the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to touch people's heart. Now I want to say this once again, because we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He dwells in you. When you look at the Bible, before the day of Pentecost, Book of Acts, chapter 2, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would only come on particular people at particular times and for a particular task or an assignment. This is before Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, everything changes. Now the Holy Spirit lives, dwells in believers. Now, let me give you an example. Acts chapter 2 verse 1, we see how the Holy Spirit fell, the Bible says, on individuals when they were what? Gathered together. And because of that, and not only that, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in verse 2, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And the Bible says that it filled the house. Think about it. They're all together, they're praying. And the house was filled of what? Filled, the house was filled where they were sitting. That place was filled of the Spirit. Church, do you know what happens when you're in a place and that place, God fills it up with His Spirit and His power, His presence is present? And the Bible says, verse 3, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Look at verse 4. And everyone present, everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice, it doesn't say they were just filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to what? Speaking in other languages or tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This wasn't, hear me church, this wasn't like some believe that this is fake. Some don't believe in it. Some say that it stopped with the early church, the apostles. But we believe, church, that God is still pouring of His Spirit in these last days. And that, you know, with children, the young people, teenagers, adults, young adults, elders, God, Jesus, is still pouring His Spirit. And people are being filled with the Spirit and being baptized and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Because when you speak in other tongues, you're worshiping God, church. Speaking, hear me, because this is where speaking in tongues, it's not a show. Or it should not. Speaking in tongues is not to impress other people. Oh, I speak in tongues. No. Speaking in tongues, hear me, doesn't make you more spiritual. Speaking in tongues is glorifying God, worshiping God, honoring God. And that gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, anyone can receive it if you believe it and you ask. But sadly, people don't believe in it no more. They don't preach on it no more. But praise God that you still got preachers that believe the Word of God. We believe the Bible. And we believe that Christ still is the baptizer. And that today, this morning, He can baptize you and get filled with the Holy Spirit. So you might say, well, I'm already saved. The Holy Spirit lives in me. But that, you know, that salvation and the baptism with the Holy Spirit are two separate and distinct experiences. Pentecost views the Spirit baptism as a distinctive work of grace in the life of a believer or a Christian, separate from salvation experience. That is to say that when you receive Jesus, yes, the Holy Spirit lives in you. But if you ask God to baptize you, that is a separate, distinct experience where you can begin to speak in other tongues. And matter of fact, that's what we call our heavenly language prayer. Amen? So you don't let nobody tell you that that's not for real or that's not for me, because we do believe that God still baptizes and He's still pouring His Spirit and God is still moving powerfully. And right now I'm going to show you why it is important to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the initial, hear me, physical evidence of the baptism. Now think about this. What was the purpose of being baptized? Let's talk about Peter. Peter, his life was turned around when he got full with the Holy Spirit. Remember Peter? Peter was crazy, man. Amen. Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times. Peter cut the ear of one guy. I mean, Peter did some stuff. His language wasn't very good at one point, but everything changed on day of Pentecost. What I'm trying to tell you, church, hear me out. You want God to change you? You want God to change your life, your heart? You don't want to be the same no more? There's struggles, there's habits, there's things in your life. I'm here to tell you that only the power of the Holy Spirit can change your life around, can change your heart around, church. Only the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to encourage you, church. I'm not here to put nobody down. I'm not here to condemn nobody. But I really believe that to be transformed, to be changed, there is more. And you got to be hungry. And you got to want more of Jesus. And it has to come out from you. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to be the same. I want to be empowered by you. I want to be different. I lay everything here at the altar. I surrender all to you. Change me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And guess what, church? He'll do it. He'll do it if you want it. If you want to be different, you want to talk different, you want different behavior, you want a different attitude, you want to be empowered, you want to walk in the Spirit, you want God to use you, you want to live for Jesus. You don't just want religion to say, oh, I'm a Christian. No, but that you say, you know what? I just want to be radical for Jesus. I want to be sold out for Jesus. Here it is. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? That's Jesus' heart. His desire is to pour out his Spirit. Because he wants to empower you. He wants to empower you. He wants to change you. He wants you to tell everyone about Jesus. Amen. That's what happened with Peter. Peter got empowered. And he preached. And I'm not saying maybe you're not a preacher. You're not called to preach. But just your lifestyle, the way you live. People will see that you're different. You talk different. You act different. You're not a follower. You're a leader. You're the head and not the tail. You're not ashamed of Christianity. You're not ashamed that you're a believer of Jesus Christ. I mean, you're so full of the Holy Spirit that people ask you, I want what you got. What happened to you? You're not the same anymore. You don't talk the same anymore. You don't do what we used to do. What happened to you? I got full of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is doing a work in my life. And when you read the Bible, that's all you see. It's either you're going to walk in the spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. Walking in the spirit, there is life. Hear me, church. Walking in the spirit, there is life. Walking in the flesh is death. I ask you, do you want to walk in the spirit or do you want to walk in the flesh? If you walk in the spirit, you'll live. If you walk in the flesh, you'll start dying. What does that mean? That means that the things of God start dying. Everything about God starts dying when you're walking in the flesh. But when you're walking in the spirit, there is life. There is anointing. There's power. There's joy. You want more of Jesus. You fall in love with Jesus. You live for Jesus. You tell people about Jesus. Look at it right there in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 4 and 5. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? It says, and everyone, verse 4, present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. And when you go down, as where we read, there's just something about church. Number one, when you're full, when the Lord baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, you're going to become a powerful witness about Jesus. Do you know that word, when the Bible says you shall receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you shall be my witness? That word witness means martyr in the Greek. Literally, it means someone who dies for his faith. So the apostles, they knew what they were getting into. But when you're so full of the Holy Spirit, church, you don't fear anything. You didn't hear me. You're not afraid of anything. Because no matter what comes your way, you're so full of the Holy Spirit, you're sold out for Jesus. So number one, when you get baptized, you got power to be what? A witness to tell people about Jesus. It doesn't matter if they reject you. Doesn't matter if they mock you, they laugh at you. It is so rampant now. People mocking the things of God. When you got preachers outside or witnessing anywhere, they're doing their own thing. But anytime you preach or you talk about Jesus, the enemy gets mad. But when you're empowered with the Holy Spirit, you don't fear nothing. Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So when you're empowered, baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're also what? You will always, hear me, church, hear me. You will always stand up for the truth. You stand up for what is truth. You'll say that marriage is between a man and a woman. You're not afraid because you're empowered with the Holy Ghost. You stand up for the truth when you say that you are for life, not abortion. Come on, church. You stand up for the truth. And that is the reason why, church, we need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to tell the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. How do you know? Give me 10 minutes, I'm done. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And I want you to put a check mark right there. How do you know if you have the evidence of God's Spirit in your life? How do you know the Holy Spirit is in your life? When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you will begin to have a new outlook on life. Things begin to look a little different. Did you know that? When you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're full, so that you can understand me, full of Jesus or full of God, however you want to call it, you see everything different, church. And that you know that Paul, he said these words, he says, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says he is a new creation. Church, you are a new creation. I'm a new creation. We are new in the Lord. And the Bible says, behold, all things have what? Passed away. The old man should be dead. Did you hear me? Whatever the Lord took you out from, whatever you did BC, before Christ, that's old. That passed away. That man, well, that is dead. But now in Christ, you are a new creation. That's why I said earlier, walk in the Spirit because there's life. But if you continue walking in the flesh or the desires of the flesh, there's death. Are you with me? And I'll say this. When you serve Christ, hear me, it doesn't mean that we do not, listen to what I'm going to say, it's very important. It does not mean that we don't sin anymore. But it does mean I can't sin and enjoy it anymore. There was a preacher, he used to come here. In Spanish, he would say it in Spanish, but in English is, sin is delicious. And the reality is, church, when you're sold out for Jesus, when you're seeking God, and you surrender your life to the Lord, and you want more of God, and you just want to be different, you want to change, I guarantee you, you will not, hear me, you and I will not enjoy sin anymore. Because the power of the Holy Spirit will convict you. He will deal with you. That's the reason why when we walk in the Spirit or we're seeking the things of God, we read our Bible, we pray, we fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ, we attend church like this morning, the house of God, and we're walking in the right path, and we sin or something happens, the conviction of the Holy Spirit deals with you. And we just don't feel right. Hey, this is not right. There's a conviction. You don't enjoy it. Before Christ, we didn't care. We thought it was normal. That's the life, you know. We do crazy stuff, whatever. But now, we don't feel right. Why? Because we are a new creation. Now we're walking with Jesus. And the closer we walk with Jesus, the more he cleanses us. The more we read the word, we're learning to see what pleases God and what doesn't please him. The more we read the word, God is speaking to us. When we pray, we talk to God. When we read the Bible, we study the Bible, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. And he'll say, hey, my son or my daughter, what are you doing? So you will not enjoy it no more. And aren't you grateful, church, for the power of the Holy Spirit that he calls you out when we mess up? Aren't you grateful when the Holy Spirit tells you or he checks you and he says, hey, you need to put a stop to that? Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, hey, I'm leaving. I'm going to my Father, but I'm not going to leave you guys orphans. He says, I'm going to send you. What did he say? I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Parakletos in Greek, which means someone who comes along your side to what? To assist you, to help you. Church, never forget, the Holy Spirit lives in you to what? To help you. To help you live and walk with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our what? Helper. The Holy Spirit, he's a person. He's the one that guides us. The Holy Spirit is the one that leads your life and leads my life. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit is going to remind you of what Jesus said in his word. I have another question for you that you're here this morning. You might say, Pastor, I can still sin and it doesn't bother me. I'm going to say it again. Pastor, I can still sin and do what I want and it doesn't bother me. Well, let me answer you back. Are you ready? Then you are probably not saved if there's no conviction. You didn't hear me. Ask yourself, am I really saved? Does Jesus really live in me? Because if you're saying, hey, Pastor, I can still sin. I do what I like to do, what I used to do. I'm still doing it, and I'm cool. I'm good. Ask yourself, am I really saved? I don't think the Holy Spirit goes against the Word of God. If you are just doing the same things you used to do, did you get that? If you are just doing the same things you used to do, going the same place as you used to go, talking the same language you used to talk, then chances are you've never been saved. Show me the evidence that you're saved. Show me the evidence that you're saved. Do you have enough evidence to say, you know what? I'm a true believer in Christ. I don't think I would feel right if I'm still sinning. Imagine I'm married and I'm committing adultery. And I'm committing it. Something's not right. I'm going against what the Word of God says, the Bible says. It's a sin. Or you're not married. You're committing fornication. And you're doing it and doing it and doing it. But you say you're a believer. Something's not right. Or you're stealing. Stealing, stealing, stealing. But you say you're a believer in Christ. No conviction. Still doing the same thing, bad, same habits, same things. Something, you got to check yourself, church. And that's why I said this morning, I'm not, see, these messages, they're strong. But you got to ask yourself. That's why I said from the beginning, because I'm very careful. It's not about condemning nobody, or I'm not talking about anybody, but it's real life, church. You'd be surprised things that happen inside and outside the church. And that's the reason why you got to be radical for Jesus. And if you're here this morning, church, and there's sin in your heart, you got to get right with God. And repent of your sins. And let me tell you this. God loves you. He doesn't condemn you. He's not going to reject you. He wants to help you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to wash you. And he wants you to get filled with his Spirit. So that you're not the person anymore. You are that new creation. Now you shine and you live for Jesus. Should I keep going or should I stop? This morning, church, I encourage you, tell the Lord. Don't do it just for today. Tell the Lord, Lord. Don't even think about, well, it's because it's a battle. Here, listen, church. Sin is a struggle. It's a battle. You fight it. Like, I want to let go, but I still want that. Gotta let go. Don't try to figure it out. How am I gonna, what's gonna happen if, what if the Lord fills me up and touches me and sets me free? Praise God. Praise God. But it's up to you. Now, if you want to continue the other road, where there's death, there's no life. I don't encourage you and I don't recommend going that route. Because the struggle is real. Church. And somehow you got to make a decision and say, you know what? Today is a day. Got to get right with God. I want to serve him and I want to be faithful to him. And I would encourage you, church. Surround yourself with believers that are going to stir you up. Talk, get close to a brother, a sister that's going to give you encouragement with the word, the Bible. Surround yourself with the right people. Come to the house of God. Don't see it. Don't see, hear me. Don't see the church as a burden. Oh, I got to go to church. It's, you know, it's 2 hours. No, church. This is where God does miracles. God saves. God delivers. God heals. God renews. God forgives. There is life right here. Don't see it as a burden. See the house of God as a blessing. We're not, that's why a church, we receive everybody. We receive everybody. We receive everyone. Because we're called to love on people. But see, the pastor, the leader, or the leaders or any other pastor can change people. Only the power of the Holy Spirit changes you. And the more, hear me, I finish here. The more you attend, the more the power of the Word of God begins to cleanse you and chip away anything that has to get removed from your heart. And I encourage you this morning, church, to seek Jesus. Not religion. Don't, hear me. Don't seek a church building. Don't seek religion. Don't seek a preacher. Don't seek the pastor. No. Seek Jesus and he'll change you. Please stand this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.